Welcome back. Nazima and Riyadh Khan married young in hopes of starting a family early. After struggling with infertility for a few years, they decided to adopt and are now proud parents of three young children. Nazima is a registered nurse in a labor and delivery ward, and Riyadh works as a teacher. Let's get their insight on the adoption process, challenges, and the blessings at the end, children. Nazima, Riyadh, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
So we're talking about adoption today. So let's start off, can you share with us a little bit about your kids?
So we have a 7-year-old, a 5-year-old, and a 4-year-old. Our oldest one came to our family, to join our family at 11 months, and our second was 14 months, and our third was 2 months when she joined us.
Perfect. And I know, within the Islamic tradition, there are some rules and regulations when it comes to adoption and dealing with that. How did you guys sort of address some of those concerns?
Yeah, so in our research, there were three main issues that we had to deal with that we were advised by scholars that must be addressed when parenting an adopted child. The first one that I'll speak about is a mahram issue, so meaning that the relationship between the adopted parent and the adopted child. In our religion, in Islam, when there are rulings regarding men and women in terms of their interaction together, in terms of who you're allowed to marry, etc. So because your adopted child is not of blood relationship to the adopted parents, there are certain rulings that one must keep in mind. So the biggest thing and the challenge that we had to face was allowing the child to become mahram or relatable to
us. And you guys have one daughter, right?
Yes.
Yes, okay. One daughter and the two sons. So the question being, when the boys become of age, what's the relationship with the adopted mother? And when our daughter becomes of age, what's the relationship between myself and our daughter? So we were able to overcome those challenges by my wife being able to breastfeed all three of the children. So maybe you can talk about that a bit.
A lot of people don't know that you can actually induce lactation. You don't have to be pregnant in order to produce milk. There's ways to do this. And, everyone should talk to their healthcare practitioner regarding this if it's suitable for them. We were lucky to be able to do that. And it's great because it allowed me to experience that as well. And my youngest one, I was actually able to nurse her. So it was wonderful to have that experience. But that definitely was able to help us in making them mahram to us.
It actually provides a bond between the child and the mother, and it provides that mahram relationship that we were talking about earlier.
And any other major issues that you...
One other major issue was the naming of the child. So I guess this was a restriction that came down in the Quran, where the Prophet, peace be upon him, had adopted Zayd. And it's a very famous incident in our religion. And that was the relationship between the two for a while, until the Quranic verse came down stating, do not take your adopted children as your own. Which essentially means, don't claim that these adopted children of yours are from your lineage, right? In our religion, it's really important to maintain our lineage, know our history, know where we came from. So, if you were to adopt a child and claim that child is, that belongs to your lineage, it would be an injustice to the child because you're not explaining the history behind, who they are and their story. So that is something that we were advised not to ever, claim that this child is our blood child. That it is our adopted child. You love him and raise him nonetheless, but it's just knowing where they came from. So we were advised actually not to give our name to the children for that purpose. But we were also explained that if it's not for the purpose of claiming lineage, then it should be fine. It's not something that is restrictive, per se, but it's something that as long as you're not claiming that this child is my blood child.
So your kids have your names.
Yes.
Yeah, and one of the reasons for that too, because a lot of times, a lot of these children, their birth families might not have provided a lot of information. So the children might not have had the last name or of the birth families, and therefore we were able to give our children our names, and we named them. That we provided their first name and their last name.
Okay, and was there anything also about inheritance?
Yeah, so that was the third issue, actually, that we were advised about. And there are clear instructions in the Quran regarding inheritance, right? Who you're allowed to leave your estate to. So that was something that we had to be mindful of and will need to be mindful of as we proceed. However, how we were able to overcome that is that we were advised that, you know, you're allowed to gift part of your estate to anyone you'd like, including adoptive children. So that's something that whenever we discuss our inheritance, that's something that we can use in order to leave back something for our children.
Perfect. So now, once you've sorted out all of the, you know, Islamic rules and regulations, what does the adoption process look like?
It's a very intensive experience. It's not easy. A lot of people are like, okay, so if we start the process, so we can adopt by next year. And it's unfortunately not so cut and dry. It's a very lengthy experience. It includes things like medical, getting medical clearance, getting police clearance. You have to do something called a home study. And what a home study is you get in touch with a social worker, and a social worker goes through, basically picks apart your life. So they look at
like
stuff.
Every aspect,
including from when you were young, things like how you were disciplined as a child, what are your methods of discipline. They look at your financial status. They look at your home. They talk about your relationship with your husband or your wife. It feels very intrusive. Like I said, you're suddenly speaking to someone you've never met in your life, and they want to know every little detail
about
your life.
And this home study, is it like a one-time thing, or is it over a period of
time? It's over a period of time. And so ours took a couple of months to complete from start to finish. But once that's completed, what happens is it's sent to the government for approval. That's one part of one step. Once you get approval, there's a training called Pride Training. They provide you information on how to deal with the adoption process, how to deal with adopted children, some of the challenges that you might face, and some of the strategies to deal with them. So it was a great course. We learned a lot from them. And what else was there? And then you wait for approval, and then you apply.
Is it easier when you guys were doing it to request babies versus older children? Like, how does that work?
In all honesty, at that time, we wanted a child who was younger than two. That was our preference. When you speak to Children's Aid Society now, they want you to be open to the idea of children of all different ages. They have a lot of children in their care right now that are waiting for forever homes. And so they're looking for people to come into their and join with Children's Aid Society, that families that are looking at adopting any children who are even older, and some of them with special needs and mental health issues. They want you to be a little bit more open.
Say if I put my case forward and I say I want a child that's this age, this height, looks like, maybe not height, but, you know, looks a certain way and has this background, will I get that, or?
They try to match you according to your ethnic background and your religion. They do try to find similarities. They're not necessarily looking to see if the children look like you. So I think when people have that idea, you also want to ask them why. So why are you interested in a child that looks like you? Is it to make things easier, like to explain to people who are, you know, when you're walking in the mall, to say, yeah, you know, these are my, no one's going to question you, are those your children? Is it for ease? Because then you also have to like kind of look back at understanding what adoption is about. You know, we knew from the beginning we would be telling them that they're adopted. This was not going to be something that we were going to hide from them or from our community. So to be honest, it didn't matter if the children look like us. I do, you know, tell people that I talk to, like, be careful with your of course you can have those requests, but you don't want to set yourself up for disappointment either. You know, obviously the more almost restrictions you have or criteria you have, you're going to make it that much more difficult, which means instead of being able to bring a child home and provide a home for them, you might be stuck waiting for that child that you think is perfect.
You guys have adopted three kids now. Does it get easier as you want to adopt more?
If someone did want to adopt a second or third child, they would just have to update their home study and just submit a lot of the paperwork, etc., and just, you know, get on that waiting list and wait for a child that would fit the criteria that they're looking for. One thing I wanted to mention as well, these adoption agencies, Children's Aid Society, they're looking out for the best interest of the child. Mm-hmm. They're not necessarily looking to find you an adopted child. They're not trying to complete your family. They're trying to complete the child's family. Mm-hmm. And they look at it from the best interest of the child. So whether that means placing the child in a home with someone of the same ethnic background, racial background, religious background, ultimately they're trying to find what is the best fit for that child. So I know from adoptive parent perspective, we want a child, we want that experience of parenting, but ultimately it's not really about the adoptive parent. From their perspective, it's about the adopted child.
So I want to get on your perspective as adoptive parents. What was it like to, you know, when you first got the call and you went to, you know, get your first child, what was that like?
There's a lot of emotions. Obviously, there's excitement. You almost get scared. Like, is this for real? I remember we were getting the room ready, and literally we're painting, and then I started crying, and he's like, what's wrong? I'm like, what if this doesn't work out, and we're getting everything ready? Maybe we should just stop. It's a lot of emotions, literally like a roller coaster. And then you wonder, I think this is a question that a lot of people ask, like, how do you know that that child is the right child for you? How do you know that you're going to be able to love this child? I'll never forget during that Pride course that we took, someone mentioned to me or to the group that they said, when you marry your spouse, they're not blood, but do you not fall in love with them? And would you not do anything for them? What's the difference between a child? You know, and children tend to like tug at your heartstrings. Excuse me. So that's exactly what happened. I remember we went to see our oldest one. They placed him on the ground, and we didn't want to go and just, you know, pick him up, even though you want to.
How old is he then?
He was 11 months at that time. And so, you know, we kind of gradually, like, we put a toy, and then we sat down on the floor, and we're trying to play with him. And then finally he was warming up, and I picked him up and put him in my lap. And I'll never forget that moment. He looked up at me, and he just put his hand on my cheek. And aww. I'm trying not to cry because I'm like, I'm going to scare this little baby. Excuse me. And it was literally like love at first sight. You know, you realize at that moment that how can you not love a child? You know, this child is looking up at you because they want love and attention and affection. How could you not provide that for them? So I don't, and that happened with all three of them. Like, it was literally love at first sight.
So yeah, they got mom's experience with dad's experience.
It was very similar. You know, a lot of emotions, as she said. When we went to meet the baby, it's interesting. They actually showed us pictures of the child before we went to meet him. And in the picture, he looked so big. And we're like, oh, man, he's so big. How are we going to, you know, get ready for an older child? And when you saw him, he was just this small little baby. And, yeah, those emotions are there. And you get attached immediately.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. Yeah. What advice do you have for two groups? Couples who want to adopt and couples who may not even think about adoption.
You need to be on board with each other first. A lot of people are like, you know, I'm finding out information, but I don't think my husband's on board, or vice versa, my wife's not on board. And I think that's so important because this has to be a dialogue between the couple. You need to both be ready for this. There's challenges. I mean, we realize even now, like, everyone's like, oh, it was like a perfect story for us. And we're like, it was, and it came with a lot of struggle. And we also realize there's going to be struggles as they get older. This is not, these struggles don't end. You know, there's going to be different challenges we're going to have to face. So you need the support of each other, because I don't know how you get past the stage if you're not supporting each other. When things get difficult, you need each other's back. So I think first and foremost, you need to be on the same page. And then surrounding yourself with people that, you know, are supporting you through this process, and start the process. If you've gotten to the point where you've decided, start the process. It's not a short or quick process.
So how long does it take on average?
It's really hard.
From start to finish for you guys, how long
does it take? Ours took about a year and a half or so, from the start of home study doing all that Pride training, and then to the time that our child came home. It took about a year and a half. But we also know people who are sitting waiting for like 3 or 4 years. So there's no way. Again, it's when they find that right match. But it could be very quick as well. So it's, you know, that's why we say that if you've made that decision to adopt and that intention to adopt, start get the ball rolling. Start the paperwork.
And what about Riyadh, for couples who may not even think about adoption? Do you think there's that's something they should consider?
In our journey, we came across many, many different people, many different couples. It was, you know, we came through this from infertility, which is quite common. A lot of people come to adoption from infertility. But we met so many people who had their own biological children and wanted to adopt. They were coming from a completed family and wanting to adopt the child and bring them into the family as well. So we were really impressed by those individuals. We saw single parents during the adoption process, people who wanted to provide a loving home for the child, and they were able to go out and adopt as well. So it opened our eyes in terms of the type of people who want to adopt. So I would really strongly advise anyone to consider adoption. Ultimately, you're providing a loving home for this child, and that's what children need. There are a lot of children in need, and they want to find loving homes, and I strongly believe that every couple, regardless if you have your own biological children or you don't, really consider it. We were actually approached by someone, a young man who was not married as yet, and said, I've always wanted to adopt, and I wanted to get some information from you because I'm fully intending to adopt. I'm not married yet, but we're definitely adopting. right? So it's really interesting to see, right?
Yeah, that
even a young man would, you know, be so adamant about wanting to adopt. And, you know, it's something within our religion as well. So people who, you know, learn about our history, there's so much, you know, importance placed on raising an orphan child that I think it's amazing if people want to consider it.
Based on your experiences, are there a lot of Muslim kids in foster care?
There's definitely a need for Muslims, just because if they don't find a Muslim family, this child will be placed with anyone, right? Anyone that can provide that loving home. So definitely there are Muslim children, but don't restrict it. I would advise don't restrict it to Muslim children either. Like, all children need homes, regardless if they're coming from a Muslim background or not. Right. So, yes, I think there are Muslim children available, but that shouldn't, in my opinion, that shouldn't be a restriction in terms of wanting to provide a loving home.
This is a very eye-opening conversation. Thank you once again for coming on and sharing your story.
Thank you for having us.
Hey, YouTube, we hope you benefited from this video. If you liked it, or if you didn't, let us know in the comments below. And if you're interested in learning more, check out some of our other videos. And don't forget to subscribe so you can get new videos every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday.